seven-time NBA champion. I wonder if Robert Horry ever gets tired of hearing seven-time NBA champion. Let's ask him. He pops by our location. Robert, great to see you. Talk to us about your career. Do you like, I mean, my goodness, where do you even start? You've played with some of the best players of all time, but does it ever get tired to be referred to as a former champ so many times over?
Actually, no, you know, because growing up in a small town, Andalusia, Alabama, you never thought you'd make it to the NBA, let alone win championships. You look at people you used to idolize growing up, like Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley. Those guys, they don't have any rings. I mean, zero. And here I am, this guy who's is very fortunate to be in the NBA to win seven championships. So I'm always excited to see, hear that and to see it.
Well, you know what? You were a big part of those championship teams, because let's talk about that. One of the reasons you were such a great performer in the playoffs. Well, what was the biggest reason? Because you saved your best games for the biggest games, Robert.
You know, for me, I tell everyone, I say, I don't make the product, I make the product better. You know, what I do is I assess what the team needs and what you need to go out and bring to a team is hard work, leadership, and dedication. That's one of the things. I was always dedicated to my craft, always trying to get better in the summertime, trying to stay in tip-top condition. And so, you know, I think my teammates respected that. They knew I came to work hard. I didn't bring any, you know, unsettling things to the team. I just brought, you know, leadership and, you know, the professional quality that most teams want in an organization.
So many teams around trade deadline time talk about getting that guy to fill in and complement it and be a big proponent, but you still need the superstar players. You weren't a superstar player, but you were a superstar in a certain role in the big shots. You were. Like, yeah. There's no question. I know you hate your nickname. I'm not going to call you by the nickname.
You can call me that. I don't mind.
Big Shot Bob is what you're known as. You were the guy in that. So you see teams now at the trade. What do you think teams are looking for? How do you identify the guy, Robert, that's going to be the guy to help and you over the top?
First of all, you got to assess what you need on your team. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, we need this, this, and this, when they really don't need that, because you got guys who are capable of doing that. You need to add another piece that you're missing. And people always think you need scoring, scoring, scoring nowadays. You need somebody going to lock somebody up. Because if you go up against somebody like LeBron, Kobe, you know, Steph, those guys, you need someone to kind of, you know, you ain't going to stop them. Yeah. But you need to at least stay in front of them and try to make every shot a difficult shot and make them get tired. And I think most guys are looking for that quick fix and, you know, offensive guy. You know, so we need this guy to score this many points. But how is that offensive guy going to mesh with the offensive guys you already have on that team? And so, you know, there is no quick fix. You know, you got to work for it. And you got to be dedicated. You got to all have one oneness.
Seven-time NBA champion Robert Horry is with us here. I'm Roger Lajoie, Sportsnet Today. We're live at NBA Center Court. So trade deadline time, very few times has it worked out that somebody has been torpedoed into a team, and it has worked for the reasons that you're saying.
Yeah.
After your experience, you're still a guy who's involved in the game. You're doing Laker games. Do you think teams should even really look at making that deal to trade? Is it even possible to mesh that fast?
Well, you know, it's funny. We were in 94, we won a championship. The next year, we made a big trade and got Clyde Drexler.
Right.
And then when he got on the team, we luckily did that trade early. And it took us all year to get used to Clyde, for Clyde to get used to it. And we meshed at the right time, you know, sixth seed, and then we still won that championship. But it's going to be hard for teams to find that, because there's going to be teams that say you have someone like a Lou Williams that can come off the bench and give you 16 points. You know, let's say, you know, like for San Antonio to replace Tony Parker or something like that. I'm not saying that's a trade option, but I'm just throwing that out there. You're going to have to be able to understand what this guy brings to the team. Can he bring what you need? You know, a lot of teams, oh, he can score. Just throw him out there. But you forget, Lou Williams ain't the best defensive player, so he really wouldn't fit in with the San Antonio Spurs, because they're a big defensive-oriented, you know, oriented-minded team. So that's what you got to look at. It's a lot of different things that come into play. And you got to be understand, are these guys that I already have on team, do they like this guy? Is he a good locker room guy? There's so many things coming into play, and I don't think people really understand. They just think you can, oh, he's talented, put him on that team, they'll win a championship. But that's not the case.
Never that simple. You've played on some great teams, but we're in an era this year where we have like a 48-4 team and a team that's 45-8 that nobody talks about because there's a 48-4 team. I mean, how good are these two teams, Robert?
Man, Golden State is playing out of their mind right now. And the funny part is, this is the best season the San Antonio Spurs have ever had, record-wise. I'm like, nobody's talking about it, but that's the way Pop likes it. You know, they like to fly on the radar. He thinks they fly on the radar, but everybody knows what San Antonio brings to the table. And everybody knows you got to go out and kick their butts. But, you know, to me, it's going to boil down to if Golden State Warriors stay healthy, because they're just the machine right now. And, you know, MVP Stephen Curry is like he's on a mission to prove that we weren't a fluke, meaning the team, and my MVP season wasn't a fluke, because they're beasts right now.
seven-time champion. You've been asked this a million times, but we got to ask you because people around here want to hear the answer to it. What was the best team? What was the favorite team? Or maybe that's two. Maybe that's two different answers, then. Huh?
Well, it is my favorite team is of course my first championship. That was my favorite team because I had all those guys that kind of brought me along, who taught me everything, who initiated me into the NBA. That was my favorite because it's your first love. You know, and the best team was when we went 16-1. You know, that team with Rick, Kobe, B. Shaw, Derek Fisher, and, of course, the big man in Miller, Shaquille O'Neal, we were rolling that year. That team, I don't think anybody could be. You can go down the line and bring back the bad boy, Detroit Pistons. You can bring back the Bulls who set the best record. We would have beat them because we had Big Fella playing at an all-time high, and Kobe was playing at an all-time high, which is hard to find two superstars playing at such a high level at the same time.
Now, you made a couple of three-pointers, too, so give yourself some credit there, Robert. Robert Horry is with us, Roger Lajoie here, and we're at NBA Center Court. So the next question you've asked a million times, here's a million and one. You played with some pretty good players. Oh, guy, I don't know, Jordan, Kobe, Hakeem, I mean, Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Like, you have a particular favorite teammate, and, I mean, you can't compare because, you know, there were different eras even because your career was so long. But how about the guys you played with in your memory zone?
Man, the guys I played with were great. You know, I grew up a Hakeem Olajuwon fan. I even had his shoes. I used to go to the playground and play them, and when they broke, I taped them up and kept playing with because I wanted to be like him, you know. And to help him win his first championship and his second, you know, was a major, you know, notch in my belt for me because people look at what you can do for yourself. I always look at what I could do for my teammates. And to help him win his first championship, when he had been there before and never won it, and you know, then to go to L.A. and do the same thing with Shaquille O'Neal was a blessing. And then to go down to San Antonio, but they had already won championships, you know, and then bring what I could bring to the table there. So it was, you know, I just had so many great teammates, you know, people that aren't the superstars like Sam Cassell. Me and him we still talk today. Bruce Bowen, you know, those guys, Devin Joyce, Ty Lue, those guys right there, you know, the superstars are always going to get, you know, the praise and everybody's going to flock to them. But those are the guys that, you know, we were the band of merry men. We all hung out. We had a good time together. You know, we just had a lot of love for one another.
Well, and it showed on the court. Yeah. But you made so many big three-pointers. What was different in the playoffs? And maybe if someone came to you for advice saying, look, some guys got the, hey, we have a lot of players, Robert, don't like playing that time of year. Yeah. They kind of disappear when the games get big. So how do you play in big games?
Man, my family and friends hate me during the playoffs because, number one, do not call me. Do not talk to me. If I call you, then we can talk. That means I need to talk, you know. But for me, is I shut everything down as far as even going out to dinner. I wouldn't do because you got to worry about the proper food was prepared in it. I just started, you know, I had food prepared at home, and I wouldn't even do anything. I stayed off my feet. And that's one of the things guys don't realize. This is a special moment in your life when you make the playoffs. You know, it's a lot of teams wishing they could be. So you have to take this 2 to 3 months and just focus on basketball. And that's what I did. I focused on basketball. All the outside noise, I block. I know my mom used to get mad at me. Why you ain't call me? I said, Mom, it's playoff time. Don't bother me. You know, even my kids, they're like, I come home, love you. I'm going to go over here. You know, and I was married at the time. My wife respected that. She understood because this is the most important time of year. This is what you play for, to try to get that Larry O'Brien trophy and to become a champion.
NBA players seem to really, for the most part, embrace the All-Star game, even more so than other sports. Why is that, Robert?
Because, first of all, you know, basketball, you can get up close and personal with the players. You know, baseball, you got, what, 20, 30 yards before you even get see a player? You need binoculars. And, you know, football, you know, those guys don't want to be there because the season is over and they don't want to get hurt. So I think it's totally different. It's not a collision sport like that. It's a sport you can get up and close. And for us, the NBA is a big family. You know, it's just a time where we come together, you know, reminisce about the past, talk about the future, and get together and just have a good time. It's a big party, you know. It's a celebration of the halfway point, but you celebrate now, and then you know what's next, that playoff run. So now you get it all in now, enjoy it, then you get focused, and that's what it's all about. And the guys know that. You know, some guys who don't come here, they're at home resting, didn't make the All-Star team like I do. I used to love All-Star time. That's time I can just let my body relax.
Yeah, get a couple of days, feel like a month.
And re-energize myself, and that's what it's about. And I'm glad that the NBA did allow extra time for those guys who are in the All-Star game to get some rest. So it's a midway. I know it's more than 42 games have been played, but we consider this the midway point where it's time to get serious. So you have fun now, and then you get refocused when you leave here.
How are you enjoying the city of Toronto, and what do you think of this Raptors franchise right about now? Oh,
man, the Raptors franchise, these guys, you know, I've been a fan of his for a long time. You know, when Lowry left the Rock, because I thought it was going to be a perfect fit for him so he could shine and do his thing. Those two guys are amazing, you know. I just think they need some kind of guy that can block some shots and get some rebounds for them, and then they can continue with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the East. But right now, they're a great team. I think they got great coaching staff and their focus. You know, they had that run last year where they didn't do what they want to do. And sometimes you need to get smacked around like that. You know, my first year in the NBA, Seattle used to smack us around when I was in Houston. But it made us mad enough to focus more in the summer, get better, and come out and try to, you know what we had to do. And I think that's what Toronto, they got smacked around in the playoffs last year, and I think they're refocused and they know what they got to do.
Learning process, indeed. Heat wave going on here today in Toronto, which makes it a little difficult to get out, but no one has to go to an outdoor patio. You can stay inside. How important is it to a franchise for an all-star game and building the brand? And what's the perception? Because, you know, Robert, honestly, we still have a little bit of an inferiority complex. What does everybody think about this? And honestly, this is the coldest day of the year, Robert. I'm telling you, the weather was, you should have been here last week. But you know what I'm saying? How do people think of Toronto?
You know, the thing about Toronto, guys always love this city. They respect it. You know, I'm going to say this, but the only thing they don't like is coming through customs, because it's like, you know, you don't like to get out the plane and you get strip searched. You know what I'm saying? You just want to get off the plane, get to your hotel, and go to sleep, and you're ready for the game. So, but that's the only complaint guys have about coming in Toronto. The people are always fantastic. You know, the facilities here are awesome. You know, every now and then it's a little cold, but hey, it's cold in Chicago. It's cold in New York. It was cold in New York last year.
Absolutely.
It was so cold, it made me stay away. But it's people love Toronto. The guys love Toronto. You know, people love coming to Canada, and it's always good to get out and see what other cultures can bring to you. And it's Toronto's been very, very special to the NBA, and having the Raptors here, and they've been really great, you know, for the NBA globally.
Seven-time NBA champion Robert Horry is with us. Roger Lajoie here. We're live on location in NBA Center Court on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Two more questions. We'll let you go. Kobe Bryant's going to be tied to the Raptors franchise for two reasons. 81 points. And his second, or his final All-Star game, was here in this city. You've played with so many great players, but just share a tale or two about the great Kobe Bryant's career.
The thing that people don't understand about Kobe, I've played with a lot of great players. They never worked as hard as Kobe Bryant did. You know, from watching film to putting what he watched on that film and taking it to the court and trying to get better. He was always trying to work on his craft and add things to his game. If you go back and look at him back when he shot that air ball and we lost against the Jazz and got swept by the Jazz player, each year he added something to his game. I mean, if it was just a drive, the pull-up J, you know, back in 2000, 2001, too, he added the three-point shot. You know, he got better. He got better and better. Well, you know how good his three-point shot is against the 81 against Toronto, but that's the thing that guys don't understand. These guys now, they want to be seen. They want to be on social media. They want to do all these things that kind of stop you from being the player Kobe Bryant is. Nobody's going to be as good as Kobe, but, you know, on that path to greatness. And I think a lot of these guys have too much outside, we call it noise and distractions, from getting you to be the best player you be. Because, you know, look, you get in the NBA, they send you to China, they send you all these places, they send you, that's a global, and you do that, and you do that for the shoe company you represent. And these guys don't say, hey, I need to take, you know, 2 months of this time, forget all that. Okay, I got plenty of money in the bank. I want to become one of the best players. I'm going to work 7 days of getting better, take 1 day off maybe, then work 7 more days. And a lot of guys ain't that dedicated and that focused. And
if his work ethic is ridiculous,
exactly,
in other words, it comes
exactly
down to, right? That's
big. You know, it's a lot of guys like that they don't talk about. You know, LeBron's work ethic is the same. You know, Dwayne Wade, you know, a lot of those guys, they do that because they know the most important thing is getting better on the basketball court.
Three-point thing going up tonight. Who do you like in that one? Are you going to take part in that? No, you wouldn't, because it's an All-Star game. If it was the NBA final, I'd bet on you. But the All-Star game, a little different.
Yeah,
what do you
All-Star
think of
game
it?
At home, chilling. Now, you know, I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to go with Klay Thompson tonight.
Really?
Yeah. You know what? The thing about Klay is extremely, extremely good shooter. You know, he has a little friendly rivalry with that man that, you know, in front court, in the back court with him, you know, and Steph. So it's going to be very interesting if he can get his game off. I think, you know, but the way Steph's shooting right now, it's amazing too. But I'm going to go with you got to go with the dark horse.
Why not? Hey.
If you're in Vegas, you got to go with the odds. I'm going with Klay Thompson.
Yeah, it might be a good money bet, as they say. Good value, as they like to say.
Yeah.
Final question. You're still loving the game. You're still involved in it. Talk about your career behind the mic. And does it make you feel any different about broadcasters from when you were playing there, Rock? Because you were so focused, you didn't want to talk to anybody.
You know what? The thing about it is, I've always had a respect for the media, because the media can make you and break you. I learned that my rookie year, where I fell out with a certain guy because he heard me say something that was off the record and he printed it. And I know that from that moment on, you have to realize that the media is a very important part of your career. They can make and break you, like I said, and you just got to stay focused. For me, it's so fun to talk about the guys and stay around the game and to be with James Worthy. You know, James, he loves this Lakers. And to see him, his emotions, his ups, his highs, his lows, when the Lakers
win. Still playing.
It's funny, man. You know, for me, it's, I feel bad that the Lakers lose, you know. But and I'm there to do a job, is to tell you what's on my mind. You know, I'm not always right, you know, but who is? You know what I'm saying? So, and that's the fun part. You have to, being in this situation, everybody has their opinion. And that's what commentators are. They give their personal opinions. They tell you what their thoughts are. If you don't agree with them, who cares? And if you do agree with them, who cares? But you just got to deal with it. Just keep tuning in and listening. That's what you got
to
do.
Here's a personal opinion from a broadcaster. That was a great interview, and we really appreciate your time. Welcome to the city, Robert. Thank you very much. Fans,
me.
Let's hear it for him. Robert, big shot. Bob Horry joining us here at Sportsnet 590, The Fan.